Oh, boy, I'll tell you, I sure will be glad once this snow melts and it stops snowing. Oh, I couldn't believe. And I got four-wheel drive in my Jeep, and I get stuck in my own driveway? Oh, boy, what a winter we have had. But glory to God, he's in control. Hymn 189, folks, and let's sing the first, second, and fourth of "'Tis So Sweet." 189. For our final hymn this morning prior to the sermon, a great old song. People, please be seated. Oh, glory to God. It's so good to trust in Him in our everyday lives for every single need. Well, let's put our hymnals away for a bit as we come to the Word this morning. Oh, what a few weeks it has been with this white stuff out there. Just never seems to end. But soon and very soon, it will be spring. Keep that in mind, church. It will be spring. Genesis chapter 5 this morning, as we come to our Sunday morning sermon. Let's open up to Genesis chapter 5. And don't forget, tonight we'll be back in our studies of the wife of Yahweh / bride of Messiah. That has been a tremendous series of studies, and this morning we're in Genesis chapter 5, and I would ask you to stand for the reading of God's holy word. We want to look this morning at a particular man in the scripture whose life exemplifies the walk of faith. Look with me in Genesis chapter 5. We'll begin reading in verse 18. And then we'll pray and preach. Verse 18, "And Jared lived in 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Beloved, I want to speak to you this morning briefly on walking with God. Walking with God. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for this amazing passage of scripture preserved by the Holy Ghost in Genesis chapter 5 about a pre-deluge believer who walked with God and pleased God. And Lord, how we thank you that as we look at the life of Enoch, we too can learn to walk with thee day in, day out. And oh God, to look to thee as Enoch did, and to one day say of us that they were not, for they God took them in rapture. We thank you for that, Lord, and we ask you to bless your word this morning. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. Enoch walked with God. What an epitaph, amen, for your tombstone. How do you like that written on your tombstone? He walked with God. She walked with God. Glory. And it would be known by everybody in your life that that person indeed walked with God. They could say that about Enoch. It's recorded in the Bible. Beloved, we have before us this morning a short account of a most excellent man named Enoch. His name, Enoch, means initiated or disciplined. Very little is recorded about him in the Word of God. Just four verses here in Genesis 5, one verse in Hebrews chapter 11, and two verses in Jude contain all that we learn respecting this man. And from these divine records, we are informed concerning three things about him. Let's look at these by way of introduction. First, we learned that he was the seventh from Adam, meaning the seventh generation from creation. Go, hold your place in Jude, we're coming back. But go to the New Testament book of Jude. Just prior to the book of Revelation, we have what I like to call a mini-revelation, the book of Jude. And look in Jude verse 14. The Bible says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. Notice verse 14 tells us that Enoch was the seventh generation from creation. Now, listen, with the four verses in Genesis 5, the three verses in Hebrews, and the one verse here in, I'm sorry, the three verses here in Jude and the one verse in Hebrews, that makes up how many? Seven verses. He's the seventh from Adam. Now, beloved, think with me. Seven verses. God's number of perfection is seven. Amen? And here we have a man named Enoch, and we learn three things about him from these verses. First of all, listen, think with me. Where did Enoch learn about God Almighty? Where did Enoch learn that? I'll tell you where he learned about God. He learned from a man that walked with God personally, whose name was Adam. Listen, Enoch was born in the year 622 AC. That's after creation. Adam died in the year 930 AC. That means that Enoch conversed with Adam for over 300 years. Adam taught Enoch about God directly. This seventh from Adam indicates the godly line of Seth. It was Cain's lineage that produced the wickedness that soon corrupted all mankind. We know that. Secondly, not only was he the seventh from Adam, but secondly, we learn from these verses that he was a prophet. Go back to Jude, Jude verse 14. Look at verse 14. And Enoch also the seventh from Adam. What's that next word?
Prophesied.
That's right, Carol. He prophesied because he was a prophet. And what did he prophesy of? Of these wicked ones, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all. Now, Enoch, by God's Spirit, predicted future events, particularly that of the second advent, not the first. He prophesied of the second advent of Messiah and of the great white throne judgment. We find that in Jude 14 and verse 15. Thirdly, we learn that Enoch was the godly leader of his own family. Go back to Genesis chapter 5 again. Enoch was the godly leader of his own family. In Genesis 5, look at verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. He had a son. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. These verses indicate to me that Enoch walked with God before his own family. Amen? And he was a godly leader of his family. You say, how? How was he a godly leader? I'll tell you how. By example. By example. That's what we need to be. Amen? We need to be godly examples to those who know us and love us in our lives. All right. Walking with God. I want to give you, first of all, four suppositions. Four suppositions concerning walking with God. Then, quickly, I'll give you four peculiar circumstances in walking with God. And finally, we'll look at three great results of walking with God. But first supposition this morning. Walking with God supposes an agreement with God. Amen? I mean, you can't walk with God if you're not walking in agreement with God. Go with me to Amos chapter 3. Hold your place in Genesis. Amos, the little minor prophet Amos, and go to chapter number 3. You'll find him just after Joel and just prior to Obadiah. In Amos chapter 3, look with me at verse 13. A question comes up by the Holy Spirit here. In Amos chapter 3, verse 1. Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Question. Can two walk together except they be agreed? God asks his people a question. The answer is obvious. The Lord is telling his people, the children of Israel, that if you want to walk with me, you've got to be first in agreement with me. Amen? Listen, beloved, this is critically important to understand that because all mankind are naturally fallen, man naturally is in disagreement with God. Psalm 14, verse 2 said, don't turn there, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. They are in disagreement with God. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning, you're in the minority. You're in a Bible-believing Baptist church. You are in agreement with God. The majority of this world population are living in direct disagreement with their Creator. You realize that? They cannot walk with Him because they're living in disagreement with Him. For God, it is not subject... Listen, the carnal mind, Romans chapter 8, verse 7 says, is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It says that if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, the mind of Christ, the carnal man is at enmity against God. He cannot walk in agreement with God. So, agreement with God must precede our walking with Him. We must agree with God that sin is wrong and fight against it. We must agree with God that the devil is a liar and turn against him. We must agree with God that the flesh is corrupt and not give into it. We must agree with God that the world is evil and come out from amongst them. Point number one, Enoch was walking with God because he was in agreement with God. Amen. Let me ask you a question, church. Are you in agreement with God today? I mean, are you daily walking, holding his hand and agreeing with him that sin is wrong and seeking his blessed face? Because if you are, you could be walking with God. Right now, there are peace talks going on in the Middle East between the Israelis and the Palestinians, the PLO and Hamas, over the land agreement. But you know what? They can't come to an agreement. You know why? It's because they're in disagreement. You can't have peace with God and be walking with God until you're in agreement with God. But I see something else this morning. I see another supposition. Listen carefully. Walking with God supposes a sincere faith in God. Amen? Walking with God supposes a sincere faith in Him. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Oh, this is real important to understand. That if we're going to walk with God, we have to believe and trust in Him first. Look at this. In Hebrews chapter 11, we have an incredible passage of Scripture concerning Enoch. Look at it. Hebrews 11. Look at me at verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Yeah, a bloody one. Amen. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. Why? For before his translation, he got raptured. He had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is what?
Impossible
to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's simply saying this: if you don't have a sincere faith in God, you cannot be in agreement with him, and you cannot walk with him. Oh, beloved, how we need to sharpen our shield of faith, amen? And how we need to lift it higher in these last days. Because if you haven't noticed, the enemy's darts are flying more rapidly lately. He knows he hath but a short time. Walking with God supposes a sincere faith in God. Listen now, if we're going to join Enoch in walking with God, we must secondly have a sincere faith in him. Faith in him as our proprietor. That is his ownership over our lives. Listen to this verse. Psalm 95, verse 3. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. David says God owns us. We're his sheep. Amen. He's our shepherd. And we must have faith in him as our all-sufficiency in our everyday lives. Genesis 15, verse 1. The Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. God tells you and me that all we need is him. And what we need to do is trust in him, Abraham. Someone said, faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. Faith is not believing that God can, but faith is believing that God will. Spurgeon once said, a little faith will bring your soul to heaven, but a great faith will bring heaven to your soul. Amen. How true it is. Point number two. Enoch was walking with God because Enoch had a sincere faith in him. Oh, beloved, how we need to sharpen our shield of faith and walk with him. But thirdly, I see a third supposition this morning. Walking with God supposes a conformity to God's way. Amen? Look with me in Hebrews chapter 10. If you're still there in Hebrews, go to chapter 10. Walking with God supposes a conformity to his way. In Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 19. Having therefore brethren, that's saved people, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Not by any old way we feel like. There's only one way. But verse 20, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. There's the blood of Christ and the water of the word. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. You know what he's saying? He's saying if you want to come to God, you've got to conform to his way of coming. Verse 19, it says, there is a new way, verse 20, a living way. That is to say, through his blood. Oh, folks, do you realize this morning that you and I are so privileged that we can approach to the very throne of the creator of the universe through this new and living way. But there's only one way to approach him. Amen? Through that precious blood of verse 19. People don't like that. They want some other way. They want some new age way. They want something different. They don't want the old-fashioned Bible way. Listen carefully. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. People don't like that. Muslims don't like that. Buddhists don't like that. Hindus don't like that. They want their own way, and you can't have it if you want to go to heaven. You know what's wrong with most people in the world today? They want some other way of making heaven their home while bypassing God's Son. Psalm 119, verse 30. David said, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. See, in order to have the way of truth, we need this holy book right here. His judgments, his words, amen, his commands. It's all in the Bible. Listen, you can't be walking with God unless there is a conformity to God's prescribed way of coming to him. That is through his Son. Listen to this verse, 1 John 2:23. Whosoever denieth the Son of God, the same hath not the Father. These folks down the road at Kingdom Hall, they teach that you can bypass the Son of God and just go straight to Jehovah. But that's not what the Bible says. That's a lie straight out of the pit of hell. You'll never reach Jehovah God while bypassing his Son. Point number three. Enoch was walking with God because he was willing to conform to God's way in a world of evil at the time. That's pre-deluge. I see a fourth supposition though. Quickly. Walking with God supposes divine guidance and direction. Amen? Go to 2 Thessalonians, if you're still in the New Testament. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I said, walking with God supposes divine guidance and direction in one's life. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, we read these incredible words. Verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And here's a prayer. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Jesus Christ. You know what he's saying in that prayer? In verses 1 through 5 for the beloved brethren at Thessalonica, he's saying, I want God to divinely guide you and direct. Look at the word direct in verse 5. Your steps, your paths, and your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for his Son. This is what we need. We need to have patience and waiting for him to come, especially these days. Amen. Now, walking with God supposes this divine guidance and direction. You know, it's funny because I meet Christians all the time that they seem to have their own plan. They seem to have their own way of wanting to do things and live the Christian life. When all the time the Lord says in his word, follow me, let my light be my word be a light unto your path and a lamp unto your feet. See, we just need to let the Lord direct us. We just need to let the Lord guide us. Walking with God supposes such divine guidance and direction. Now, listen carefully. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, we love that. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct thy paths. I love that verse. Walking with God means being directed and guided by him. Proverbs 6:22. God's word says, my son, keep thy father's commandment. Think of your heavenly father here. Listen, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. And when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. Solomon's saying, God's going to guide and direct me as I walk with him. Glory to God, Enoch was walking with God because he was under divine guidance and direction. Oh, I love that. But I see, after these four suppositions, I want to call your attention to four peculiar circumstances connected with Enoch's walking with God. The first circumstance is this. Think with me. Enoch's walking with God was in a time. Think of the time of its commencement and the length of its continuance. The time of its commencement and the length of its continuance. Look with me back in Genesis chapter 5 again. The first particular set of circumstances concerning his walk with God is the time of its commencement and the length of its continuance. Look with me in Genesis 5 at verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. Now, time out, church. Here we learn that Enoch was 65 years old when he began walking with God. Now, in pre-deluge days, if you calculate this out mathematically because of the lifespan of pre-deluge, it's equivalent to 7 years of our lifespan. 65 years is equivalent to 7 years of our current lifespan. Because we're post-deluge, okay? Now, this will revert during the millennium to pre-deluge lifespans. You know that. But if Enoch was 65, and that's equivalent to 7 in our time, that means that he began early in life to walk with God. The time of its commencement was when he was young. Amen? Very young. Listen carefully. Enoch had not lived 1/12 of the pre-flood life expectancy of men when he began walking with God. This shows us the unspeakable advantage of finding God early in our lives. Proverbs 8, verse 17. Listen, I love them that love me. Oh. And those that seek me early shall find me. Enoch started early in life walking with God. You know what I wish? I wish I could go back in time. How about you? I wish I could go back in time and change my life. I wish I could go back and start walking with God when I was like 3, 4, 5 years old. I was 27. I wasted all those years of my life not walking with him. Enoch started out early in life walking with God. But something else, not only the time of its commencement, notice the length of its continuance. Back in Genesis 5. Look at verse 22 again. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah, 300 years. Wow! He walked with God a long time. Amen? 300 years. Beloved, listen carefully. This teaches us that the pleasures of communion with God never decay. I wish I had 300 years to walk with him, to serve him, to glorify him on earth. But I know I'll have 1,000. Amen? Oh, glory to God. It never wears out walking with God. The time, the length of its continuance is all of the days of our life, is the point being made here. Clearly, Psalm 63, verse 3. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands unto thy name. David says, as long as I have breath in my being, I am going to walk with him. I am going to praise him. And I am going to glorify him with my life. Listen carefully, beloved. Enoch continued throughout his entire lifetime walking with God. And God took him. Are you continuing your walk with God each and every day? So critically important, especially in these days. But I see another peculiar circumstance of Enoch's walking with God this morning in our text. And that is this. Notice the relations under which his walking with God was sustained. Back to Genesis chapter 5. Look at verse 22 again. And notice the relations under which his walk with God was sustained. Verse 22. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Now we learn here in verse 22 clearly that Enoch had a family. He was a family man, and he was a godly leader of his wife and children. And he led his wife and children by setting a godly example himself of walking with God before them. Did you hear what I said? How many times have you heard someone say, do as I say, not as I do? That's not going to work, Dad. That is not going to work. You know what they're going to do? They're going to do as you do. They're going to do as you do. And that is why actions speak louder than words. And our young people are going to follow our example, whether it be good or whether it be bad. That's a scary thought. Joshua 24:15. The man Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua said, as long as I'm father and husband of this family, we're going to serve God, boys. Wife, get dressed. We're going to church. Amen. Look at Genesis chapter 8 for a moment. I want you to see something here concerning his walking with God. Someone else, another man that walked with God before his family. In Genesis chapter 8, we have a man named Noah. Look with me at verse 15. And God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons and thy sons' wives with thee. Verse 20. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord. Notice the first thing Noah does when he gets off that ark. Didn't go hunting. He didn't plant a garden. He didn't start building huts. He built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast, the ones from the ship, the ark, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Now, folks, listen to me. Noah was a godly example before his family. Enoch was a godly example before his family. And you and I, how much we need to be a godly example before those who are watching us. Enoch taught his family the ways of the Lord and how we need to follow his example. We need to take our family to church. We need to teach our family to pray. We need to lead our family in Bible study. Glory to God. But something else I want you to notice, another peculiar circumstance of Enoch's walking with God. Notice the conditions amidst which it was preserved. His walking with God. Notice the conditions amidst which it was preserved. Genesis chapter 6. Look at this. This is when Enoch was walking with God. And these are the conditions amidst which his walk with God was preserved. I need you to hear me in this point. Verse number 5 of Genesis 6. We read, and God saw that the what? Wickedness of man was great in the earth. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing, the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Oh, I'm so glad for verse number 8. There was a but Noah. In the midst of wickedness, verse 11, and the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Sound familiar? 12, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Beloved, listen to me carefully. The circumstances amidst which Enoch walked with God was circumstances of total chaos and evil. In an evil generation, Enoch said, I am going to hold up my shield of faith, and I'm going to walk with my God, and I'm going to live a righteous life. Do you have that kind of an attitude this morning? Because, folks, I'm telling you right now, it's as bad, if not worse, than when Enoch lived in this earth. And we need to make a stand. I am going to walk with God. No matter who quits on God, I'm going to keep on going by his grace. Oh, listen carefully, beloved, this morning. Enoch lived in a time of universal corruption. Enoch determined that even if he was the last man on earth serving God, that he was going to keep on keeping on. You know what that tells me, beloved? If Enoch could walk with God in the midst of all kinds of wickedness and not be infected with the ways of the world, so can we. So can we. Listen, we have the Holy Spirit. We're sealed. God has called us to be different than the world. Titus 2:14 says, Jesus Christ gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Yeah, we're peculiar because we're different. We're strange to this world. We're foreigners. We don't live like they live. 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Listen carefully, beloved. Enoch walked with God amongst evil conditions in this world, and so can you and I. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Amen? I see a fourth incredible particular circumstance in which Enoch walked with God. Fourthly, notice the incredible outcome which succeeded this holy walk of Enoch. Back to Genesis chapter number 5. Look with me at verse 21 again. Verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. In all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Whew. Wow! Did anybody see what he said in verse 24? This is Old Testament, and we have a rapture taking place, church. These guys are walking around saying there'll be no rapture of the church. I don't know what Bible they're reading, but it's not the King James. It says right here that Enoch, a type of the church, was not because God took him. Folks, listen very carefully here. Enoch was translated, body and soul, into heaven without seeing death. That's called rapture. Hebrews 11, verse 5. Listen. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. Now, watch this. Enoch was the seventh generation from Adam, right? He's taken up in rapture without dying. Listen carefully. We just entered what millennium, someone? Since creation, we just entered the seventh millennium, right? The seventh millennium. And the Bible specifically states by the Holy Ghost that Enoch was the seventh generation and he was taken up. Think of it. The seventh millennium, we just entered the seventh millennium. We're about to be taken up, folks. I'm going to tell you this morning. 1 Thessalonians 4:15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, first coming, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, Enoch, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Isn't that good? Isn't it good to know that he's coming for us to rapture us out of this sin-sick world? So cheer up, Christian. You keep walking with God and one day you'll be not, for God will have taken you. Amen? Well, all right, now, listen carefully. We have four suppositions of Enoch's walking with God. We have four peculiar circumstances amongst which he walked with God. But in closing, let me give you three incredible results of Enoch's walking with God. Three things we learn from Enoch. First, that to walk with God is an available privilege to all mankind. Amen? Enoch was no different than any other person who lived pre-deluge. Enoch was the same as every other guy, except he chose to walk with God. Why? Because walking with God is an available privilege to all mankind. Romans 10:12 says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek or Gentile. For the same Lord is rich unto all that call upon him. Amen? Walking with God is available to all people, but all people will not walk with God. Hear what I said? All people will not walk with God. Let me further that statement. All Christians will not walk with God. Hello? We got a lot of empty pews this morning. All Christians will not walk with God. Secondly, we learn from Enoch not only that walking with God is available to all people, but secondly, that to walk with God is the indispensable duty of all mankind. Listen to this verse, Psalm 100, verse 3. David says, for it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. It is he that hath made us, and we're not we ourselves. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I have an indispensable duty to walk before my maker. People don't understand that. People that, you know, what's her name? Miley Cyrus. Miley Cyrus has a song, it's my body, I can do what I want. It's my body, I can do what I want. I got news for her. It's not her body. It belongs to God who made it, and she can't do what she wants. That's the world's attitude, though. I can do whatever I like. If it feels good, do it. If you got an itch, scratch it. Hey, everyone's doing it anyway. God hasn't changed his mind. Because to walk with him is the indispensable duty of all mankind, which they will find out in the end. Thirdly, we learn from Enoch that to walk with God is the highest interest of all mankind. It's the greatest thing we can find in this life, to walk with God. Psalm 116, verse 9. David says, I will walk before God in the land of the living. While I have any being, I will praise him. David says, as long as I have breath to breathe, I am going to walk with my God. And don't you know he did? David, the man, the sweet psalmist of Israel, I will walk before God in the land of the living. You're in the land of the living right now. Glory to God. Now, in closing, let me give you this. A Persian fable says, one day a wanderer found a lump of clay, so redolent of sweet perfume, its odor scented all the room. What art thou? Was his quick demand. Art thou some gem from Samarkand, or spikenard in this rude disguise, or other costly merchandise? Nay, I am but a lump of clay. Then whence this wondrous perfume, say? Friend, if the secret I disclose, I have been dwelling with the rose. I have been dwelling with the rose. Beloved, listen. Do you want to be smelling sweet spiritually? You'll need to be like Enoch, walking with God, dwelling with the rose. Song of Solomon 2, verse 1, Jesus said, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Now listen, verse 2. As the lily among thorns, so is my love amongst the daughters. Jesus says, my love, my bride, the church, is like a beautiful lily amongst a bunch of dangerous thorns in this world. And what makes us beautiful to him? Walking with him. Walking with him. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for walking with God. As the man Enoch walked with you and he was not, for God took him. Lord, I thank you that that day is coming. As we continue in these last days of the last days to seek your holy face and to walk before you by your Holy Spirit. Hey, Lord, those people in the Old Testament, they didn't even have the Holy Ghost. We have the Spirit of Christ indwelling us and enabling us divinely, supernaturally, to walk with you. Lord, we're without excuse. We're living in a time of Laodicean church where it's lukewarm. And Lord, you said I would that thou were cold or hot. I'll spew you out of my mouth. Lord, I thank you that there are still true Bible preaching churches in the world and true men and women of God, boys and girls, that love Jesus Christ and are choosing to walk with him in their daily lives. Father, I pray that through the preaching of this message, countless multitudes of souls would not only come to Jesus Christ for salvation, but that they would walk with him in this life until their dying breath. Oh God, I pray your Holy Spirit would bless this word that many will hear and many will say, I'll walk with God. I'll be an Enoch in these last days. Lord, one last thing we must say. There is no greater joy, no greater peace available to the human heart and mind and soul than to be walking with God. We thank you for it in Jesus Christ's name. The people said, amen. Praise the Lord. Folks, let's grab our hymnals for a closing hymn of faith, this hymn of song this morning. And let's open up our hymnals to 74. One of our all-time favorite hymns is hymn 74. At Calvary, amen. At Calvary is where the walk with God begins. And then it commences throughout the life of the believer. Oh, glory. At Calvary, William Newell. Yes, indeed. And we will sing the first, the second, and the fourth. Let's stand.
Jesus fed in vanity and pride. Hearing not, our Lord was crucified. Knowing not, it was for me he died. On Calvary, mercy there was great, grace was free. On it there was nothing right to me. There the burdens of a liberty. My sin I learned, then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till a guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Everybody now, mercy there was great, grace was free. free. All in them was multiplied to me. That brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. A burden so for liberty.
Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, I would thank you today for Calvary. Thank you, Lord, that because of Calvary, we can come to you and then we can begin to walk with you. Oh, how we love you today. Lord, we pray you bless us this afternoon. Help us to get all our properties shoveled out and snow blowed out. And Father, I pray that we'd have more folks in your house tonight at 6 o'clock for our Sunday evening service. Lord, we thank you for the precious privilege that we have as your believing people in the world today, that we can walk with you day in, day out, until you take us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the people said, amen. Praise the Lord.
Glory to God, folks.